My guest at this time is Mallory Quigley. She is the communications director at the Susan B. Anthony List. That is a pro-life organization working primarily to help elect female candidates to office who are pro-life. Mallory joins me now to talk about the 2016 March for Life that will go on as scheduled on Friday, despite the looming blizzard that is expected to hit the National Capital Region. And we'll also be talking about the agenda of the pro-life community as the year rolls on. And Mallory, thanks very much for going with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, obviously, it's an interesting day on Friday. You've got the March for Life, which is the 43rd anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. But you've also got this huge storm coming in. So talk about the atmosphere and what you expect the march to focus on this year.
Well, I think that everyone, despite the snow, is still very excited. I've been getting text messages and phone calls and just seeing stuff on social media from all the groups that are coming in from across the country. And the theme this year for the March for Life is really special. It is pro-life and pro-woman go hand in hand. And that is really just highlighting an element of the pro-life movement that has always been there, and that's the acknowledgement that women and children are inextricably linked and that abortion harms them both. And so that to solve this problem of abortion in our country, it needs to start with loving both the mother and the child. So I'm really excited for the march. There's a great lineup of speakers, including Carly Fiorina, who, of course, is running for president, Senator Joni Ernst, who's been a huge ally of ours in the Senate in terms of defunding Planned Parenthood and advancing the Pain Capable bill, and Marjorie Dannenfelder, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, will be speaking. And Marjorie will be talking about how in 1913, it was a women's march for suffrage. In the crowd tomorrow, there will be the children of that great movement in terms of the pro-life women legislators and leaders that are going to be there, not only from the U.S. Congress, but from legislatures across the country.
So, Mallory, obviously, with this theme of pro-life, pro-woman, it's definitely in conflict with the Democratic Party message that if you're going to be pro-woman, you have to support abortion, right? So how do you counter their argument that a pro-life agenda is one that's anti-woman?
I think that this is a mistake that the other side makes, thinking that in order to build up the rights of women, you need to accept a violent act like abortion, and you need to accept that you should pit women against their children. And this is really a false choice. And particularly when you hear the testimony, there's always at the Supreme Court on the day of the March for Life, women who have experienced abortion, who experience pain from that and regret that choice, who are sharing their testimony on the steps of the Supreme Court. And when you hear those women, the suffering that they've gone through, and the firm desire that they had chosen life instead of abortion, it really changes your perspective. And so every year, throughout the year, when I'm talking to pro-choice advocates, I ask them if they've ever met women who regret that abortion experience, and I think it really changes their perspective.
Mallory, obviously 2015 was a very prominent year in this debate. You had the undercover videos from the Center for Medical Progress, the effort to defund Planned Parenthood. You mentioned the Pain Capable bill that was advanced, although not ultimately making it into law. What's on the agenda in 2016?
2015 taught us a lot in terms of what Congress is able to achieve. We sent a bill to President Obama's desk just a few short weeks ago that actually defunds Planned Parenthood, which is the nation's largest abortion provider, and reallocates their funds to comprehensive healthcare centers that don't do abortion on demand. And that was the result of some creative thinking in Congress in terms of using the reconciliation process, which allows us to get this bill to through the Senate without 60 votes. We just needed 51. So that was a huge breakthrough in terms of creating a pathway to when we have a pro-life president, hopefully in January 2017. Top of mind for 2016, of course, is electing a pro-life president.
And what about down ballot? What kind of candidates are you recruiting right now for House and Senate and at the state level?
Mm-hmm. We just made our first endorsement this week. It was Martha Roby in Alabama. She's an incredible ally in the U.S. House of Representatives, who was the first to the floor to talk about those videos exposing Planned Parenthood's involvement in the harvesting and retail of the body parts of aborted children. And so that was our first endorsement of the cycle. We've got a couple other incumbents that we'll be looking to support soon. But in terms of our full endorsement list, that's still more to come. Obviously, top of mind for everyone is the presidential field. We are very lucky as pro-lifers that all of those running who are still in the race at this point in time have signed on to our top legislative priorities, which I mentioned, you know, Planned Parenthood, defunding, and the 5-month abortion ban to bring us back in line, the United States in line with Europe and sort of the rest of the world. We're actually only one of 7 nations to allow abortion on demand after 5 months. So definitely keep an eye out for more endorsements to come, but at this point we've just made the one.
When it comes to the Republican nomination, will you make an endorsement given that there are multiple pro-life candidates, or will you simply get behind the one who ultimately wins the nomination?
At this point, we generally don't endorse in primaries, and so I don't think that we will. Of course, we know that the abortion issue is going to play a role in the general election. Hillary Clinton last week was endorsed by Planned Parenthood, and at a campaign rally with them and with those supporters, she said that she would move to end the Hyde Amendment, which is long-standing bipartisan legislation that stops our taxpayer dollars from going to pay for abortion on demand. So this is really quite a radical move. She's moving to the left, even of President Obama, on this in opposing the Hyde Amendment, which has protected the conscience rights of taxpayers for a long time. So that is really, if she wants to use her presidential campaign to go to war with these common ground policies like Hyde, that's really at her own risk. We're confident that voters are going to reject that level of abortion extremism at the ballot box. And in fact, there was a new poll out just this week, just in time for the march, of course, from Marist, put out by the Knights of Columbus, that finds really a majority of Americans support the legislative initiatives that the pro-life movement is pushing, including defunding keeping taxpayer dollars out of the abortion business, protecting babies and moms at 5 months, you know, right to know legislation for women so that they understand the health risks to abortion. So we really think that their public opinion just continues to catch up with science in terms of the abortion debate, and what we're the groundswell of support that we're seeing for our legislative initiatives really don't bode well for any candidate that's going to be vocally pro-abortion and sees that as a key to winning their campaign. Unfortunately, as Hillary Clinton, she's really taken on that mantle by accepting the Planned Parenthood endorsement full-heartedly.
Mallory, we'll keep it there. Stay warm on Friday. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Greg.
Mallory Quigley is Communications Director at the Susan B. Anthony List. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.